It's the Skippy Low Program. Today, Skip's guest is Artie White.
What a great welcome, first of all. What a great and interesting guest we have today. Who's good at so many things. Just astounding. And I want to welcome Hart E. White. Hart E. White, welcome.
Thank you, Skip. Just Hartie White, not Hart E.
No, not Hart E. White?
No, just Hartie White.
You have your hand in so many things. Radio, television.
Not really television.
Newspaper?
No, I'm not in the newspaper.
But you like newspapers. You've read them.
Mm-hmm.
You could do it if you wanted. You could do newspaper. You could do anything.
Well, I don't know about that. And there aren't really newspapers anymore.
There aren't. It's so sad. There used to be so many of them. They were all, everyone had a newspaper.
It was true. It was true.
So it's so hard to do a scene without a newspaper.
It's an essential prop.
You're a stand-up comic.
No, I'm not.
You stand up, though? Or you sit down, mostly?
Well, I stand up.
You do stand.
I stand up sometimes when I perform. Mostly on the radio, though, I'm sitting.
So you're a sit-down comic, like Rakugo.
What?
Japanese Rakugo. The sit-down comic style.
Yeah, I guess so.
Where you sit there with a fan and a hanky and you pretend they're something. Like, oh, this is a plate of food. And this is a cudgel.
All right. No, I don't do that so much. I do stuff on the radio.
Spirituality. Are you? Are you a spiritual person? It's just all play. Is it all play? Frivolous. Is it frivolous? Are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking, I guess I'm, well, we're all spiritual, I guess, really. I don't know what that means. It's just, we're thinking about things more outside of ourselves.
Outside.
Yeah.
Of ourselves.
Really outside of ourselves. A lot of times in another dimension or something.
Another dimension. Is that something you'd like to explore? You're going to explore another dimension in some future works? I know that you've branched out.
I don't know. Yeah, I probably branched out less than a lot of people. I'm more of a, if a career is a tree, I'm more of a palm tree.
Oh, straight?
Straightish.
But no branches?
No real branches. I mean, I've done other things. You know, I've tried my hand at things. Like, I haven't done really any acting where I've got a part in a play.
Would you like to do theater? Is theater your calling? I remember, I didn't read it. It wasn't you, but somebody said in an interview that theater was the ultimate performance art.
Well, maybe. I guess, you know, it's a very old performance art.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I guess we were dancing around the fire acting all silly or something. Look at me, I'm a monkey or anything. That maybe is the history of theater.
A lot of it's still that way. A lot of dancing around acting like a monkey.
It's true. I mean, I saw you could, you know, I guess.
Jungle Book.
Jungle Book, is that on?
Not Jungle Book. What am I thinking?
Lion King?
Lion King. Lion King. Is that something you'd be interested in doing ever, Lion King?
I don't know. No, I don't really sing or anything like that. I'm not a, I say I'm not a stage performer, and then I've been on the stage and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm contradicting it.
Contradicting yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you say Walt Whitman? Where's the beard?
Oh, yeah, well, it's kind of here.
Not like it was.
No, not like it was. It was,
It was like a Santa beard. Or maybe you were selling turquoise rings in the mall. Or maybe you were using a metal detector at the beach in Key West.
Maybe. I it's a beard say a lot of things, so it does,
Mm-hmm.
So,
You didn't want to go full Letterman.
No, that was a shock. I had a long beard, and I was mistaken for a rabbi one time.
A rabbi?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In my life, I've been mistaken for both a rabbi and Nation of Islam. It depends on really what you're wearing and the lighting. But the beard, I don't know if it was saying exactly what I wanted it to say.
What did you want your beard to say? We're together, we're a couple.
No, not like that. No, I meant my facial hair. I didn't want, it's a statement.
What's a state?
What is it state? Usually it's state. Well, first of all, people will point out to you, and bless them, I want them to in a way, when there's food or something in your beard. And they act like they're doing you a favor. But they're not doing me a favor because I don't see it or care. Well, what they're saying is like, there's something on your face that disgusts me so much
mm-hmm.
that I'm going to reach out and basically commit battery.
Uh-huh.
Or at very least tell you, you got something here, do something about it. Insist that I do something about it.
I see.
And so, I don't know, it makes me feel bad. I'm embarrassed, first of all. Then I'm like, well, what if I have some suggestions about things that you could do to your face to make it more, palatable or something?
Ah.
So sometimes I'll just say, beards are a lot of trouble, but you should grow one because it'd cover up that, whatever that wattle is or that chin there.
Oh, you're not cruel like that.
No.
But you are.
I'm not really.
But you joke.
I do joke a little.
You joke that you're cruel. Cruel joking. Joking about being cruel isn't being cruel.
It isn't. I don't know. I don't think it is. Well, I mean, you could take somebody like the Three Stooges.
Oh, so fun.
Yes.
Legends. Really performance legends. Really some of the best. Moe is some of the best.
Absolutely. But you take them, and a lot of it's a very aggressive towards each other and everything like that. But it's also, there's a sweetness to it or naivete, or they're not like that.
Mo was very gentle.
He was.
Shemp? Gentle?
I think, yes. I think the most gentle.
Curly drank.
Curly drank. Mm-hmm.
Larry gambled.
Well, we can list their sins. It doesn't, what I was saying, there's gentle.
Uh-huh.
People, not aggressive. But, there's some, probably the reverse is true.
People pretending to be gentle who are violent, like Fred Rogers.
Fred Rogers was not violent.
No?
No.
But the jazz. The jazz seemed aggressive.
I don't know.
Opera? Elitist? Aggressively?
Could be. I don't know. I wouldn't say he was aggressive. Certainly not violent. And he didn't like the puppets to hit each other.
How do you teach children to cope?
What do you mean?
What if a little tiny king or a witch should hit them? Then what? What do they say? What do you want them to say?
Well, Mr. Rogers didn't really cover that. I mean, he did say, we should talk through it or something. Maybe tell Lady Elaine.
Lady Elaine is one of them.
Yes.
What's she doing now?
I'm not sure.
So good.
So good.
So very good.
She was so very good, and I don't know what she's doing now, but,
Are we thinking of the same person?
Lady Elaine was the puppet. And then there was Lady Burbidam Babadam.
I don't know. I've forgotten.
I've forgotten, too. Do you,
I'm asking the questions.
You are? Skip, I'm sorry.
Entertainment.
What?
You are an entertainer.
The pauses are.
I wonder, is that mostly Well, you are, you also. Are you anyway provocative?
Am I provocative? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I'm thinking just the opposite. In fact, I found myself to be a little bit cowardly. I would love to...
Cowardly?
Yeah, cowardly.
Cowardly? Afraid, like a lion.
Just one lion. Most of them, I don't think, are afraid.
The males are.
The males are?
The female of the species is more deadly than the male. Kipling.
That is Kipling. Yeah, he's out of favor. That's good. Here's the thing. I know this is, I'm absolutely mortified. I forgot what we were talking about.
You and your career. Your marvelous long entertainment career that I haven't seen as much as I want. I want to see so much more. When did I, could I see it?
Well, you could see it. You could listen to it. WFMU has these archives.
Archives, like is that a library? Is that just another word for a library? There's been so many motion pictures about libraries, haven't there? That's a good question.
It is a good question. I can't think of any offhand that about libraries. I know there's a Doctor Who episode.
Silence.
Silence in the library. Yeah, that's very scary, but I can't, off the top of my head, I'm sure there's a library movie. Oh, Evening in the Library, whatever, with Ben Stiller.
He's second generation performer, actor, entertainer, stellar murmur.
Yeah, his parents.
Tell me about them.
I don't really know anything about them. I don't have anything to do with Ben Stiller.
Were your parents entertainers or in the industry at all for any period of time?
No, they weren't. Just grew up with my mother and my grandparents. They always wanted to be actors.
Uh-huh. How did that come? How did that manifest itself? They lied?
No, I don't. Maybe I don't know.
A lot of people who are good liars think, I had to be acting. My insincerity has really paid off for me.
It has. It's so wonderful. So you can take something that seems like a weakness, and, you know, maybe because you've been compensating for it, you get really good at being the opposite. So in a way, the fact that I'm kind of shy and awkward and maybe even ungenerous. You know, I've tried to be the opposite so much, I've become that, you know, and that's what's wrong with that? You say, fake it until you make it.
Unless you're an actor, then you fake it till you make it till you fake it. Then you fake it again. Then you make it, then you fake it, and then you fake. Are you faking now or making it? Are you making fake?
I'm not making, making fake. That's a wonderful coinage to act. You're creating. It's a wonderful thing. And are you creating truth?
There's a little bit of truth in everything, isn't there? A little bit tainting it, like salt.
I don't know if salt taints things. I mean, but there is, I guess, almost salt in a lot of things. Contain it. Maybe carbon is something that's in all of us.
Carbon. You should carbon date some stars.
Yeah?
I've been going through IMDb, and some of the birth dates don't ring true.
I know. And it would be great to get...
What could you do? Could you get a fingernail? Is it possible? I've been in some of these dressing rooms. There's fingernails. They clip the fingernail. Carbon date it. Carbon date it. So that they know the age.
I don't know. And who are you thinking of?
I don't want to pick on anyone. But Dick Van Dyke.
Dick Van, that's so funny. I was just watching a What's My Line? And it was a million years old. Dorothy Kilgallen, the wonderful, beautiful, no one knows what she did, Arlene Francis, and Bennett Cerf, who sounds a lot like Arnold Stang. I don't remember that, but he does. He's so funny. I didn't expect him sounding like Top Cat. But Dick Van Dyke was on there, and I was just thinking about, what was a million years ago? It was probably early 60s, and he's alive, and he's still alive.
Is he?
I know, right? That's the thing, is a lot of times, when I was young.
I know what you're going to say.
Dannon.
The Dannon yogurt commercials. Famous.
They are famous.
Uh-huh.
And they showed these people from what we used to call Soviet Georgia, just Georgia now.
Not Atlanta.
No, the Georgia over...
Past Europe. It's past it.
It is past Europe. And they would show these folks. They look like farm folks, you know. I don't want to say peasant. And they say they've lived to be 100 because they eat yogurt.
Yogurt. The British say yogurt.
They do sometimes.
Yogurt. Makes me.
It makes me giggle a little bit.
Mm-hmm. 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 Giggle.
And so that was a big thing about, you know, does the yogurt make you live that long, really? And then it turned out, I read somewhere, and maybe, I don't know whether it was...
People's Almanac?
I don't know.
Booker lists.
It could have been either one of those. I read that they had actually, a lot of people had taken their parents' birth certificates to get out of the draft or something. Say, no, I can't be drafted. I'm not 18. I'm 38 or something. I say, oh, okay. And so, you know, they add 20 years, and they're not really, 120. They're just 100. So they're lying, and they're fake.
I see. But are they acting? Is that acting? Because there they are in the commercial. And they're eating yogurt. And they're living their lives. You are a...
Keep going, Skip.
Thoroughly interesting character. Are you a character?
Am I a character? We all are characters. I have a stock answer for this. And,
stock.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the factory. Stock car. Out of the factory. Stock car races.
Yes, that's so right off the shelf answer. And that is that we all are doing a character one time. I don't know if somebody said this about Martin Short.
He stole from me.
I think he did, Skip, a little bit, but and does not acknowledge it. But beloved.
Love.
Beloved. And doing a character.
Me.
Yes. Sort of. Yeah, I don't know. He just changes it. But all right. Bless your heart. Someone accused him of being on all the time. He said, well, it's show business, you know. I mean, I wouldn't be like this if we were shopping together at Kmart.
He doesn't go there.
I know. He doesn't go to Kmart. I don't know if he said Kmart or whatever. He might have. You know what I mean, though, but in real life. But I believe still we're doing those characters. You're around people, you try to figure out what they like about you, and then...
Accentuate the positive.
Yes.
Decentuate the negative, or destroy it altogether.
Yes, you could do that.
Are you destroying negativity? Hart E. White?
No, I'm, I'm trying, I'm set out. I don't want to be, you know, a lot of, when I started, I was sort of surprising people by being sort of gentle and what people call positive or encouraging or loving. And a lot of times they were used to people going for laughs by you know, being sarcastic or...
Cruel.
And when I didn't do that, it was a little bit of a surprise to people. But also, you know, there's this... And they say, oh, Mr. Rogers or something.
The jazz demon.
Yes, the jazz demon, Mr. Rogers.
Aggressively avant-garde is my take. Possibly.
I know, maybe he could, yeah, he could be, I don't know. But, you know, I didn't want to seem like naive or Pollyanna.
Pollyanna, her career, terrible. Over, gone, is it?
I don't know if that's a character. I'm not exactly sure who you're talking about, but a lot of people, yeah, their careers are gone, just like newspapers or anything.
That's a callback.
What?
We were talking... You made a callback. That's incredible.
That's... Yeah, well, I mean, just, it wasn't that much of a... It was just a few minutes ago we were talking about newspapers, so it's not like a...
You bring it all back around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess so.
Like, you pretend to leave through the front door, and then you go around to the back door and come in again. Now you're in the house. Now what?
I guess you pretend like you didn't leave.
Ha! Right.
So that's, I'm going to forget what we're talking about in a bit, but if I could bring it back just to, whether someone's doing a character or something. I'm not the first, nor will I be the last to say, you know, we are all acting and improvising, and I'm going to be doing a show soon where I'm going to speak to an improv teacher.
Teacher of improv.
Yes.
Can you teach that?
Well, yeah.
Can you teach science? Or is that something you have to know in your heart?
I think you can teach it. Most things you can teach.
Johnny Carson said, you can't teach funny. You can't teach people how to be funny.
I don't know. Well, that's... But see, that's so subjective. I mean, you can teach people how to try to be funny, or you can teach people how to try to make people laugh, or you can say, these are some... things that have worked and some techniques that have worked in the past. The same thing with painting. So I could teach you how to paint. Now, what you do with that knowledge, that's up to you. You have to come up with the idea.
The idea. The idea is the ingredient. Secret ingredient? Not so secret?
It's not so secret that you need an idea.
To do things. To entertain people and other people?
Maybe. Yeah, you need ideas, right? I guess you could always take someone else's idea. A lot of times, so for instance, you know, we borrow, whether it's voices or something like that, you know, and inspired by other people.
Your dog died.
Yes.
Just recently. You're a poodle.
No, a beagle.
Beagle. Named Anker.
No, Orwell.
Orwell. What's the significance of the name Orwell?
Well, the writer.
Writer?
George Orwell.
Oh, Eric Blair.
Eric Blair, right. Oh, that you know that is interesting.
I know him as Eric Blair.
Okay, Eric Blair, George Orwell wrote many books, and I guess I had spent the summer reading as much, all his novels and everything, and things that he had written for radio and all that kind of stuff, and just did a deep dive, and I got a little beagle puppy and decided to name him Orwell because the name was on my mind so much, and then... Yeah, he just recently passed away.
I get Eric Blair and Eric Blore. The great British actor, Eric Blore. Do you know him?
Oh, yeah, I do. Funny you should get them confused, but I do know Eric Bloor.
His voice has been borrowed by voice actors, cartoon voiceover actors, others, you?
Yes, yes, I've done Eric Bloor.
Dudley Do-Right's boss.
That's right. That's what you would. That's not Eric Bloor doing, though. That would be, that's a Paul Frees doing an impression of Eric Bloor.
Interesting.
It is interesting, isn't it?
Very.
Very interesting.
It is. Who are you doing now? Are you doing a voice?
Well, I mean, yeah, in a way, I guess, you know, I was, I listened to a video. Somebody was, posted a pretty good video about how we sort of over identify certain accents as being transatlantic. And that is the,
It was a fad.
It was a fad. It was a very, actually, brief fad, and it was an attempt to sort of formalize American English. And basically, it was just no road of R's or, you know, theater, something like that, you know. And Edward Everett Horton spoke that way, even though he's from Brooklyn. So it's a good way to get rid of your Brooklyn accent. And it just sounds, it's not quite British, but anyway, but it's the video said that it's over-identified because there was a sort of speech pattern like that in New England that's much earlier than that, where people did sort of speak like that. And I believe that because, you know, hitting that R, that's a both new and old thing. That comes and goes, you know, sometimes it's father, sometimes it's father. Depends on who you are.
Who you are. You made a joke.
Uh-huh.
Not a funny one. But impulsive? Joke making? Covering? For something? A lack of self-esteem? What is it? What are you covering up?
Oh, boy, that's an intense one. What am I covering up? Well, nobody wants to be, you know, being vulnerable is sort of truly vulnerable is basically impossible.
And you wouldn't want to?
No, I don't know that you'd want to.
You wouldn't want to open up your chest and pull your ribcage apart? With your heart? Beating heart? Beating heart, blood, filled with blood? And then infection? Maybe? Television?
Television? I don't know what that has to do with it, but yeah, no, that's, I don't know if you're speaking metaphorically or you literally would not want to do that, but certainly, yeah, you don't want to, and never for entertainment purposes, that just seems wrong. It's hard enough to make yourself vulnerable in relationships with other people, and that's really where it belongs, and the kind of just exposing yourself like that, the kind of almost cynical vulnerability, I'm not for that.
Uh-huh. So that's a more private thing with you.
So I'm, I don't know about, so my, I think my vulnerability comes from a sort of cringe factor.
Explain. Cringe. I'm doing it now. Why?
Well, here's the thing. I've thought about it a lot, and I'm actually been invited to talk somewhere.
I can't believe that.
No, it's true.
Who would do that?
Well, Vicky, it's a Vicky Bennett thing.
Ah, oh, Vicky's wonderful.
She is, and but I'll be there too.
Also,
right. But anyway, so I was thinking about these things about being provocative and being good at something or accomplished or having a skill, being good at your craft. And that's sort of, sometimes that's undeniable. So if I was, let's say, I'm doing something that's presumably avant-garde, but it's undeniably, objectively, aesthetically pleasing or interesting or just cool.
Like some music.
Yeah.
Music does that. Could be there's unlistenable, experimental.
Right.
And compelling.
And sometimes it does correlate with, but not always, skill. So there's a question of whether you don't have a skill, whether you absolutely embrace the badness. So let's say I'm going to do art and I know I'm not good at some visual art or painting. And so I go for a primitive style and I paint down, you know, I paint or play worse than I can.
Mm-hmm.
And then you are signaling to the audience that there's a level of irony or something going on, because then they see, well, this person's confidence is out of whack with their skill because this thing sucks, but it sucks so much, I'm in on it.
Okay, keep going.
But then there's a type of art where you can't tell whether it's failed sincere art or someone who is using our ability or our propensity for embarrassment when it comes to performers, because in a lot of ways we're witnessing a humiliation ritual, any performance, and we're waiting for something to go wrong. If you do something, let's say I try to paint or I try to do a song, but I try to do it the best that I can, knowing that it's going to fall short, that introduces a level of embarrassment, because then the viewer or the listener is thinking that person's expectations did not meet. There's a tragedy waiting to unfold.
Right behind there. Once they find out, they will be devastated.
Yeah, that kind of thing where like, man, when you figure out how bad your song is, you know, you're going to be crushed, that kind of thing. Well, I believe that cringe, that element of cringe, is like the taste of bitterness.
Bitter. Bitter like certain performers?
No, bitter like the actual taste of bitterness, like a flavor. It's a sophisticated thing, because bitterness, when we're young and our palates are very sensitive, you know, bitterness is associated with poison, you know, so we naturally spit out anything that's bitter. As we get older and we're told, no, that's okay, that flavor's acceptable, your Syrah or whatever wine is supposed to have a little bitterness to it, you accept that, and then you say, oh, I can enjoy that difficult flavor. And to me, that difficult flavor is a cringiness or embarrassment, because you have to examine something in yourself. You know, what is being provoked?
Why are you embarrassed?
Yes.
Sympathetic mortification.
Skip. Yes, that's a good word for it.
It is.
I know. I want to put some of that in there. And also, people like to see themselves. And since most people would be very bad at everything I do.
Including you.
Including me, maybe, yes.
So they see themselves in you. A failure. A boob. A stooge. Someone, an incompetent.
No, I think now you're going a little far. Not quite. I got the... Also, I have suffered from the punk rocker, aging punk rocker paradox, is that if you inadvertently get good at this thing that you were trying to stay bad at, and then you don't know what to do, it's like, well, do I switch now?
Switch genres. Will you switch genres or not?
I don't know. I will, I've thought about it.
Dance,
I love. I'm not very good. I'm not very coordinated, but I love movement in space, and my body is weird.
You're awkward looking.
I am awkward.
Is your spine?
Is it my spine? I don't know. My proportions are weird. Yeah, and I do look like I look a little awkward when I move. And so I was thinking, you know, maybe use that for me.
Some very tall people are not well proportioned.
I'm not very tall, but yeah.
You're 2 inches too tall.
That feels about right. I do feel I am 2 inches too tall. If I was a little shorter, my proportions would be better. Yes.
Interesting. I wished I was taller.
You're no, and you're not.
I don't care.
I don't care either. No one cares.
The camera can come right up to the face.
The microphone up to the mouth.
Put yours up to the mouth.
Up right like that?
Let's both do that.
All right.
It's not good.
It's not good. Let's pull back a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, we don't have to care about really how we look, but I would like to maybe get into, it's like using different paints or something. I remember I was talking to Picasso.
Pablo.
Uh-huh.
Painter? Dead?
Yes.
Time machine? Real life?
Well, it was both real life and, but I had to use the time machine because, yeah, our lives only overlapped briefly. And so, yeah, I needed to go back in time and speak to him. And I do that with lots of artists. I don't use the time machine very much because it causes, there's side effects.
Intestinal?
Mainly intestinal problems. Mm-hmm.
Gut problems. You have them? Entertainers have them? Lots of entertainers have them? Bowel problems? Pooing? Diarrhea? Performance diarrhea? Do you have that?
Not anymore. Yeah, no, not really. Got that pretty much under control, but I know what you're talking about. It's nerve-wracking to perform. I try to put myself into situations that are low stakes, first of all.
I'm sure your audience is happy to hear their low stakes.
Oh, well, you know what I mean. They're high. I mean, I don't want to disappoint people, but also I don't think I'm going to prison or it's going to end my career or something like that if I do poorly and I try my best. But I also get too worried about things and have to constantly sort of reevaluate, pull back and say, is this worth worrying about? Is this silly? Is this really important?
What's important? Are you important? Is this show important?
This show, my show, your show?
My show, your show, my show.
Shows.
Are shows important?
Well, I don't know. We could just get into what's important. But do we need them?
We need them. Or want? Do you want or need? Have you seen Twin Peaks: The Return?
I have.
Mr. C.
Yeah.
I don't want, I don't need to want Roy.
I don't know, that's not what he said, but he said something. He said, Ray, I don't need anything, I want.
I want desire. You have them?
I do have desires, like anybody.
Needs?
I have needs. I think most of those are met. Some things I think are needs that are desires, but I get them mixed up.
Rice.
Man, you went, who knows? Those are,
corn.
I don't know whether those are, so when it comes to foods and everything, that's a little harder to do.
Praise.
That's easier, right? Is that a need or a desire? That's better than.
Praise or rice?
Well, rice, obviously. That sounds like some kind of old spiritual question.
There's that word again.
Spiritual?
Question.
Question.
What?
No, the word question.
Comes up a lot.
It does come up a lot.
What is it?
What is a question?
Mm-hmm. What are you really asking?
I don't know, but I think it's a branch of philosophy. I mean, I don't want to be... I'm pretty sure it is. A lot of those things are. When you start getting into a conversation like that, and it just, I don't want to say the word deteriorate, but it starts to meander. It goes off.
It branches.
It branches.
It weaves.
I don't like to say that.
Meanders.
We said meanders already. I said it. That was the first thing I said, I think.
Callback.
Not a callback. Just the first thing I said. If meanders is going to go off in all sorts of directions. Oh, Lord. Now I don't know where we are. This is why you don't deviate from the path a lot. And that's why most... I always have a... I don't know if this is something you do, but I always try to have an outline.
A script. You work from a script.
I do not work from a script.
What's in your head?
A script.
What's the difference? What's the difference between reading words off a paper? Or reading words off a paper in your head? The head paper.
The head paper.
Is it there?
Uh-huh.
And you're reading it?
Uh-huh. Yeah, so I guess that's a script. There just doesn't physically exist.
If you type it on the computer, does it physically exist?
I don't know if it physically... No, well, there you go. That's a good point. It doesn't physically exist there either. Yeah, I don't know what you would consider a script. Or are you reading? Or what's an outline? You know, I have, in the past, I've gone on really long walks and tried to basically do the entire show in my head once through and then go record it. So that's very hard because you get really worried. So, well, if I think or even talk out loud for an hour and don't record it, what about, am I going to say something precious?
Like panning for gold.
It is like, maybe, you know, am I going to miss it? And, yeah, so I worry about that. But then that's kind of ridiculous because...
why is it?
I'm trying to think of why it's ridiculous. But I believe that it isn't... The things you say, the individual things you say are not precious. And they're not important. And maybe even jokes are the same way. It's not, the wording is sort of important, but the idea is what's more important. So if the laugh comes from some kind of paradox or contradiction, all you need to do is convey that. So the specific words that you say aren't important, and I just kind of go with my dinner with Andre plan, which is you improvise yourself into the script, and then you script yourself into improvisation.
Is that...
I don't know. That's how I imagine it.
Is that what they did, though?
I think so. I think they recorded themselves conversing, wrote it down, changed it around, and then tried their best to then do that. But it's impossible to do that word for word because that script's dense. It isn't just, you know. I mean, Wallace is not going to blow his lines that are like, you know.
Tell me more! Wow!
You know, a lot of the things are very long.
They are. Mm-hmm. Tell me more.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
Wow.
I do see what you're doing. You're doing that part of the conversation. But see, then Wallace goes off and he says some interesting things about a heated blanket or something like that. And it's very compelling. And I think it came from a place of improvisation, and they were thinking about their own lives and being exaggerated versions of themselves. And isn't that what we're all doing, is being some sort of exaggerated version of ourselves? It would be less entertaining if we weren't. I mean, imagine if it was just two friends who weren't annoying having dinner. How fun is that? They've got to be pompous or full of themselves. One of them has to feel uncomfortable, or both of them. So that's what they were trying to achieve, not just a sort of verisimilitude. Nobody wants to see just an ordinary conversation. Heck, all those reality TV shows that have been on for the last few decades, there's nothing real about those. Those are provoked, and those are if not scripted, then they are directed in a certain way. People aren't being their real selves. They're being a version of themselves, and it's all... for drama, and it's all to make people feel a certain thing and to provoke emotions.
What provoke emotions are you provoking right now, Hartley White? Are you provoking emotions? Do you want people to be emotional about what you're saying? Do you want them to cry? Do you want them to cry? Do you need them to cry? Are the tears energy drink for you? Do you lick them up?
No.
Are they like those glucose shots that long-distance bikers do? Are those the tears of your audience?
No, I know what you're talking about with the little... I have a friend who's a competitive bike racer, and he told me about those. You just take this shoo, bang, a shot of glucose or something, because they go through a lot of energy.
Is that the way you train?
I don't know. I just exercise, you know, to keep moving, to keep fit.
To be like apparently Dick Van Dyke?
Right.
Does he jumps over an ottoman every day?
He does?
Every single day. The same ottoman.
It's amazing. Yeah, I heard that. And, but he was a dancer and stuff like that. If you look at the people that are still alive, a lot of them were dancers, right? Russ Tamblyn, Richard Bremer, and everything. They're combined, they're like, I don't know, 180 or something like that. And, like we said, Dick Van Dyke.
I've heard there's a new act.
Yeah.
And it's called Dick Van Fleet. And they just like Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, yeah.
But young.
Okay. I don't totally get the joke.
You will. You might.
Okay. Yeah, there's nothing new under the sun, right? I'm doing somebody.
Are you? Who?
Oh.
Who?
I don't know. I don't know exactly. I guess I could start to say, the other day I saw, it was an old interview. It was like Larry King talking to Martin Short.
Oh.
And your name didn't come up. He was asking about a certain character, and your name never came up.
I know. I know this. I feel badly. But I don't.
You shouldn't. You shouldn't. He was saying he wanted to be somebody he liked to mock stupid people who have power. And that is...
Not me.
No, I don't know that that's you anyway. So, but what was the question?
Are you mocking me?
No, I'm not mocking you. I don't think that was the question, though.
I'm kidding. I kid you. I'm kidding back. Do you like a riff? Are you riffing right now, Hardy White? Some riffing? Do you like skits to riff in skits? Should we do a skit together? Should we do a skit and riff? Would you like that?
No, I don't think that,
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I riff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or do skits.
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm.
But, I like to improvise some. I like to just talk. You know, funny things come up all the time.
Do they?
No. But, you know, when they don't, it's good to point out, really, the banality of most entertainment. You know, when you read a book, for instance, you read a novel... A lot of the novel is just a description, and yes, it may make you feel something, but they're just trying to lay out a scene, and some of it is just superfluous, you know? It might be easier or more efficient if just every page had the name, the emotion that page wants you to feel, and it would save a lot of time, because I feel like I have these excruciating minute descriptions of Victorian drawing rooms that I don't need. And it hasn't enhanced my life. And I'm not sure that it couldn't have been taken care of, or they were rich, they were poor. The room looked like the poor person who was now rich. It looked like the room of a rich person who was now poor. That'd be fine. But also, you know, there sometimes people put details in these novels, modern novels that do that, and they'll say, yes, the reason I mentioned the box of mac and cheese is I wanted you to, you know, the specific type of Kraft macaroni and cheese box that we all grew up with, that's evocative of something. Well, that's a risk because that might not evoke that, you know? So if you're going to go with that specific in a detail, it might not mean that anymore. And I've thought that when I was reading, you know, old novels and they say a piece of furniture, well, I'll miss the reference, you know?
Stooges. They do this?
The Three Stooges, right. There'll be some, what they call, you know, not evergreen jokes, really dated pop culture references. And unless you've seen the movies that came out in 1937 or whatever year it is, you might not get what the references are. We do that now, you know. You see jokes on sitcoms that refer to popular movies or something like that. And you got to be careful how far back you go because maybe that movie isn't popular anymore or it didn't stay popular and people don't know what you're talking about. Go back to some old Johnny Carson shows. Try to figure out what some of those references are. It's tough, you know. It's like a little history lesson. You can go back and see, you know, what did people think was important? What did they think we would remember as opposed to what we remember?
I see that a lot with Nostradamus.
What are you talking about?
Well, Nostradamus, people say, he didn't mention so-and-so. He didn't mention this. Maybe they're not important.
Oh, that could be.
Maybe he only mentioned things that have lasting importance.
Yeah, all right. That could be true. Yeah, we don't know really what has lasting importance. So when we make jokes about it or anything, we don't even, you know, gosh, we all thought the 1972 sitcom, The Super, was it 72? Would be a bigger deal. Bruno Kirby, when it wasn't. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and so it fades. Careers fade.
Mm-hmm.
Freddie Prinze.
Well, he died. A lot of those are people that die, you know, so they don't. That's a career stopper. It used to be death. I don't think it's going to be as much of an impediment to career success as it was. But it used to be if your corporeal form or whatever expired, you'd no longer to be in movies. But now I think you pretty much can.
Is that CGI?
Yeah.
CGI AI.
Yeah.
How would you pronounce that?
Sagayayay. Something like that.
Do we like that?
No, I don't know. No, you know, I mean, CGI got weird. We start seeing dead people in movies and everything like that. Now AI maybe put even words in their mouth they never said or...
Like this. Is this it? Is this artificial intelligence?
Artificial ignorance?
Yes.
It is artificial ignorance. Yes, you're not really here. A computer's not doing it, and I'm doing it old-fashioned way. I love doing things the old-fashioned way. What does that usually mean?
What's in an old-fashioned?
Sugar?
Lots of sugar.
Sugar. I think some kind of booze. Not something I drink. But I do things the old-fashioned way, and they're... aren't they laborious? Yes, but there's no labor-saving thing in all of history that has ended up saving anybody labor. They're just labor-adding machines. They just add labor. Because, like, AI is not saving anybody anything. It takes, they fuel it with what they call Soylent Green. And people volunteer for these programs. But what I'm saying is that you will become the fuel for something. There's no labor saving. There's no one with grand visions of power that sits around and imagines your life being spent in a beautiful, idyllic, you know, Arcadian paradise. You sit by a lake and have nothing to do, and all your needs are met by benevolent machines and maybe... some kind of fairies.
Or golems. Click and Alum, an army of clay, golems, providing things. What do you eat?
What do I eat? Oh, I'll eat anything I'm served.
Why is that?
I don't want to get into, it's very personal. Some things like you're eating and Yeah, I think any subject where you talk about what you're going, but what you put up against you or in you or anything like that is
politics.
I don't put that in me. So that one's okay.
Religion.
I don't eat it or put it in my anything. So we're good.
You are delightful, interesting, baffling, not tall, average. You are odorless. You are a force in that sitting in a chair. And I personally am so honored and confused by you, and just a wonderful thing. Just a wonderful, wonderful experience. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you came. And I love it. I love show people. And I think you're one of the most people, showiest people that there is.
Well, thank you, Skip. That's such a nice thing to say about. I was once told that you should treat all compliments and insults the same. And
it's in the Moxor.
The Moxor?
High Holidays, prayer book.
I don't think so. I think what you're thinking of is that little thing that says you are, the whole world was created for you, and you are but dust and ashes, and you carry that in your pocket at the same time.
At the same time? Is that something you do? Carry it at the same time?
I do. I try to have that balance of praise and detraction. I'm worthless and I'm worth everything. And I guess it's just, when you have something like that that seems so paradoxical, it's just a clever way of saying reject the question. Question's not helpful. It isn't helpful to decide what your worth is. It's a pointless question. And so you're worth everything and nothing. There's the answer. It negates it. And so the idea that a compliment and an insult are the same follows the same logic. You know, an insult will wound me beyond what it should, and a compliment may very well puff me up and reward me beyond what I deserve. And so I am always honored to be appreciated and loved, but just psychologically, I'm saying sometimes you just have to let it go through you. You know, neither one you should save. Maybe I should say that. Suck on them a little bit. And then, don't save them. Just let it pass through you and go to the bathroom of it when you're done.
Interesting. You reference colons a lot.
Yeah, I do.
Interesting. We'll leave it there. Hardy. Art. Hart. E. White. Hardy White. Thank you for being here and being remarkable, and we love you.
Oh, thank you, Skip. Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here, and my friends. Oh, you know, this is the middle of the October Hellraiser. Give money to WFMU, which is the greatest radio station that I'm on right now. And I'm so thankful for you, my friends, and you make it possible with your generousness and your generosity and your sui generis. And the other thing that has the gen, your Gen X, your Gen Bots, or whatever you are, bless you all so much. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Skippy Lowe Impression and Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County in New York City, New York, and online at WFMU.org, worldwide freeform radio, freeing you from the form of radio. And now I leave you with this, the next show, Mahogany. Fantastic. Bye-bye.
Pero a mí nadie me toca. pero a mí nadie me toca. ¿Qué te hice yo por merecer tanto dolor? Abandonada me siento sola, sin ti, sin tu amor. Nene,